Opening antiphon. Of you my heart has spoken, seek his face. It is your face, O Lord, that I seek. Hide not your face from me. It's in Psalm 25. It's a lovely, or Psalm 27. It's a beautiful, beautiful piece of text. In the Old Testament tradition, okay, there is a strand of spiritual thought that desires to see the face of God. I want to see your face. Moses says, do let me see your face. There is a whole long discourse in set of meditations on Moses' face and God's face and the shining face of Moses, which takes after God's own shining face. The Psalms and the prophets, I want to see your face, I want to see your face. This was a big thing for the people, because in the ancient world, all the neighbors, all the pagans had gods that had faces, because they were made out of wood or stone or little gods, big gods. They were carved, they had features to them. And so it was always a hard thing to realize that they couldn't see their God. He was deliberately hidden from them, at least for a while. He would reveal his face eventually, as we will learn. So they asked to see his face, because to do so is a way of expressing in biblical poetic language the fact that we know that the face is the expression of human intimacy and community. It's through the face that we get to know the other. The face is a privileged bodily expression of friendship, of sentiment, of ideas, of passions, of emotions, of a bond, of communication. So to say, God, I want to see your face, it's like trying to say, I want to know you well. I want to see you and be with you. And we know the face is the privileged mode of expression for that thing. The Psalms are going to give the answer to this. God's going to say, you want to see my face? You're going to have to be good. You need to be pure of heart. The pure of heart see the face of God and live. Okay, so you must be cleaned before you can see it. And even then, it's still going to be something that's less than we want, because he's still invisible. Ultimately, God will let us see his face when he comes among us in person. Jesus is the face of the living God. And now God has come, and we do see him face to face. So now he has allowed intimacy to exist face to face, and it does so until the end of time. So he's given us what we wanted. We want to see him face to face, and he finally allows it to happen. We are pure of heart, and since we were never pure enough, he finally had to take that rest of the way and just come among us. I mention this because I think, I don't want to start an argument, okay, but it does kind of put the whole debate about masks these days and the mask mandate and COVID into a particular perspective, because it does raise up one reason among others, there are others, but one reason why the mask thing is so, so hard for so many people. We have a hard time understanding sometimes, you know, what's the objection, what's the problem, you know, but the fact of the matter is, okay, is that these Psalms and the prophets pick up on the fundamental fact that God has made us to see each other face to face. It's an expression of intimacy. And so to cover one's face, to go around with one's face covered, for much of human history has not been a sign of friendship or intimacy or openness. It's been the reverse. It's been unnatural, inhumane, sinister, and something that puts fear into us because we don't see the person adequately. So masks are fundamentally unnatural things. They're fundamentally dehumanizing things. And so it should make sense that for particular reasons, the mask debate gets so heated because we know that it represents a departure from what God wants us to do. So we never want to fall on the idea of thinking that masks should be normal things. They're not normal things. They can't be normal things. Now, it's one thing to say we do them for a while, because apparently we have to, and one can debate their efficacy, that's another conversation. So that is what it is, and we offer it up as a sacrifice and say, well, I don't like this thing, it's not natural, it's not normal, it's dehumanizing because it interferes with intimacy and friendship in the authentic human community, but I will do it for a while and I'll endure it if for some reason I'm supposed to, if I'm told it apparently does some good. But it must be viewed as exactly that, as an exception. It's not the norm. And if it ever gets to the point we start thinking it's the norm and this doesn't come to an end, then we have a real problem on our hands because we've crossed into a realm of living in a way that God did not intend us to live. That's not biologically, humanly necessary or good or healthy. Seek his face, O your face, Lord, I seek. Hide not your face from me. We long for the day with the whole COVID reality that we will not have to hide our faces from each other anymore. We do it not because we have to. Okay, fine, we'll endure it. Sure. But we have to understand it for what it is. It's an exception. It's not normal. It's not good as a long-term solution to the human family, and it can never be that way. It must come to an end. And we have to ask for it to end as soon as possible. Because we need to see each other's faces. We just do. Let us see your face, O God. Let us see your face. With that, we continue our Lenten walk up the mountain, make the sacrifice, to have the glory of our end brought before us, that we can see God and see each other, really, face to face, with hearts made clean.